Persons listening to this show should experience varying degrees of euphoria and might radiate a warm glow of truth from their entire being. This phenomenon sometimes lasts hours after a typical brain massage. If you are listening with another lights-on listener and they begin to glow, don't be concerned. This is a phenomenon normally associated with Pastor Scheidbach's patented brain massage technique and merely means the truth has set them free. Be advised. For Pastor Scheidbach, exposing liberal lies and destroying vain philosophies is like taking candy from a baby. All liberals are hereby cautioned. Pastor Scheidbach is about to rip one or more of your favorite lollipop notions right out of your hand. Uh-oh, too late. A liberal just lost a lollipop.
Hello, I'm Jerry Scheidbach, brain masseur. Get ready for your brain massage.
Truth. Served here, flavored by delectable wit, delicious sarcasm, succulent sagacity, a gourmet meal for the mind.
Voter fraud. Stalin said it's not who votes that counts, but who counts the votes. You know, voter fraud is accomplished in many ways. Tyrants have never liked the vote of the people, and they find so many ways to compromise it and to steal. In the past, voter fraud could not be depended on to actually decide elections except in small cities or provincial elections. On the national level, voter fraud has pretty much been diluted into having no actual impact on the outcome, but that's changing. Voter fraud has become a joke in some cities like Chicago, Obama's political birth city, yuck, yuck. You've heard about the number of dead people who vote every year. You've heard about the growing problem of aliens, that's non-citizens voting. Of course, you've heard of gerrymandering. In case you're not familiar with that technique, we are only too acquainted with it here in Santa Barbara County. It's when the wicked thieves and liars who control drawing the boundary lines of an electoral constituency use that power to favor their political party. The father of gerrymandering is early 19th century governor of Massachusetts, Elbridge Gerry, who manipulated district maps to favor his party. We have what is called the spaghetti district here, purposely drawn to favor liberal candidates. And this allows a lying frauds to manipulate the voting districts to get more liberal representatives into congressional seats. So gerrymandering is another method of voter fraud or election fraud. Then there's the old trick of bringing in outsiders to sway elections, you know? If you have a large college in your county, as we do, or your state, you know what I mean. We have the Santa Barbara University of California. It is notoriously liberal, of course, with more than 20,000 students, most of whom come here from other states. And yet they are allowed to vote in elections affecting our state. And frankly, we resent it. We have enough problems with our own high density of highly dense, superficial, lip-think youngins to deal with. In national elections, it does make sense, of course, that they could vote. But in local or statewide elections, these college kids need to vote in their own states. Not here. I'm sure you feel the same way in your own town. Unless, of course, you're one of those unreasonable and wicked liberals who's unfair and unscrupulous and willing to destroy even your own beloved democracy, so long as it advances your party politics. In the past, voter fraud was only impactful on local or provincial elections, but for many years, groups like Acorn, for example, have succeeded at creating massive, well-organized voter fraud machines. But not only Acorn, many, you know, speaking of Santa Barbara, for example, I recently received a DVD exposing how voter fraud is taking place right here. And it may be happening where you are. In fact, I'm sure it is. The voter registration drives that go on, you've seen these guys out there. Well, you better watch out. These lying thieves, some of them, create a political action committee, it's a PAC, and apply to participate in get out the vote drives, right? So they receive, you know, hundreds, thousands even of voter registration cards, and then they send their third-party representatives out there to recruit new voters. And they prey upon these young kids that are on their college campuses, where the many of them, mush-headed kids, are still naive enough to buy into the Marxist-Socialist drivel pumped into their head day after day by their Marxist-Socialist teachers. So they get these kids to fill in the forms, and then they offer to take the forms and deliver them on their behalf. Well, the kids go along with this, and the filthy scumbags take these voter registration forms and use the information on them to manufacture two or three votes. They change the address so the absentee voter ballot arrives at the address of a voter whose vote they can control. They can create multiple voters out of one by manipulating the information and assigning different addresses and forging the signatures. Often, the original voter registration form is not even filed. It's just thrown away. So we've got these cockroaches crawling all over our campuses and city streets, collecting voter registrations and then stealing votes. And now the problem has grown to the point where it is beginning to have an impact on the national level as well as on local elections. And the reason is, now listen, the nation is so polarized between the left and the right now in our country, that the number of voters who actually decide an election has shrunk to only a few hundred thousand. You know, 400,000, 500,000, 600,000 is all it takes now to sway a vote, a national vote. This means voter fraud can control the outcome of elections, and we better start taking this matter seriously. The reforms necessary to correct this problem are really very simple. I mean, just start with requiring photo ID to register and a photo ID to vote. And listen to the liberals howl in fear and panic when such obviously sensible, common sense suggestions are offered. Why? It's obviously fair and the right thing to do. The only reason to oppose it is that it interferes with their program of voter fraud. Another problem is that the fact that today not only do we have hundreds of thousands, if not millions, of illegal aliens voting in national elections who have never sworn an oath to uphold the Constitution of this country and whose interests are not in allegiance or in alignment with the interests of the United States, but we are also beginning to realize the prophecy of Ben Franklin and others of our founders who warned us against the danger that one day, when the people figure out they can vote money out of the public treasury into their own pockets, that they will form a voting bloc powerful enough to use the government to steal from their neighbors. Look, let's face it. It used to be the case that the people who had to get in public assistance lines to get handouts from the government were embarrassed and ashamed, and this motivated them to work very hard to get off the dole as soon as they could. And that's a healthy self-respect that we should encourage. Today, it's different. We've got families who are on public assistance for 2 and 3 generations. It is absurd. Look, anyone on public assistance should not be allowed to vote until they get off the dole. Okay? You want to slap these scornful politicians who use these people to keep power? Power they use to work more and more corruption into our system of government? Well, take away their ability to buy votes with public money. Anyone who is on public assistance, let's say 6 months or 3 or whatever, cannot vote until they get off public assistance. All of a sudden, you'll find many of these liberal politicians will lose interest in the poor they manipulate all the time for their own gain. Now here, I don't want to be unclear. I don't want to be equivocating in my point. I am saying that there are liberal politicians who purposely work to keep people dependent on government assistance because by this means they ensure a voting base that keeps them in power. Yeah, I did say that. I'm saying that if you take away their ability to buy votes, they will lose interest in these people because the fact is they don't care about the poor at all. They are a pack of Judas politicians whose only concern is the bag, you know, huh? Keeping their hands on the purse strings to line their own pockets. Now, this idea that you can justify stealing from another man, what is his? On the pretense that you're doing it in order to help the poor. That's got to stop. That myth must be burst. That brings me to the truth about our current budget crisis in America. Now, it's a layered problem, rather like peeling an onion, you know, and as you peel it, you're sure to cry, let me tell you. So grab a tissue and grab a box of tissues. You know, I just noticed my time. I'm going to get started on this, and then I'll pick it up after the break and develop this further. Folks, it's just wrong to steal a man's money to dispossess him of what is rightfully his. One of the most fundamental rights of man, indeed, among the most fundamental of the inalienable rights endowed to man by his creator, is the right of property. The right to own what he has earned by his own labor and whatever increase he is able honestly to gain by investment of the product of his labor. Why can't you liberal idiots understand this? Now, be patient with me and just listen. What would you think of a farmer gathering all his farm workers together and saying, okay, each of you go out into the fields and pick my corn today, and I expect each of you to produce according to your ability. Then at the end of the day, I'm going to pay you. However, I'm not going to pay you according to your productivity. I'm going to decide what you need, and that's all you're going to get. Huh? And by the way, if some of you happen to get clever and you find a way to go out and make some extra money, well, I'm going to take that away from you, and then I'm going to decide who should get it. Who does this farmer think he is, right? Obama? Yeah. Obama does not have the right to take your money and give it to whomever he thinks needs it. Pelosi, Mr. I Can't Read, Reed, and Mr. What Would Jesus Do, Rangel. Now, what a joke. You're right, Chris, and thank you for it. Charlie Rangel attempts to stir our conscience with this What Would Jesus Do thing when it comes to budget cuts. Well, I can tell you this, Mr. Rangel. He would not justify stealing a man's hard-earned money in order to give it to you and other lying tax cheats. Hey, Rangel, why didn't you ask what would Jesus do when you decided not to pay your taxes, eh? Well, Jesus would certainly not steal a man's hard-earned money to give it to lying scoundrel politicians to do with it whatever they think ought to be done. Look, you don't have the right to take away what one man earned to give it to another man who did not earn it. When you do that, you destroy property. You destroy property rights. You destroy one of the most fundamental rights of man. We must no longer tolerate this business of government deciding how much you should be allowed to make and who should have what you earn. That is immoral. It is wicked thievery. It is an outrage against the rights of man. It is an outrage against the divine right of man to labor and keep the fruit of his labor. Government's job is to protect the rights of its citizens, not to trample upon them. Of course we pay our taxes. Those serving in proper government are charged as ministers of God to execute wrath upon evildoers, to protect civil order, and to provide for the common defense. But government has no business taking the money of those who earned it in honest labor and arrogantly presuming they know better who should have it. Look at the mess you've made with our money. You don't know how best to spend it. You're bankrupting our nation, and you are stealing our money to do it. And you have gone past stealing from us. Now you're stealing from our children and from our grandchildren. I will develop this a little more after the break. But listen, folks, we all understand that the government must have the power to tax. God warned us about that when his people long ago whined about having a government system like the world had. We want a king like everybody else. He told them it would mean oppressive taxation. It always does. Jesus instructed us to pay our taxes, to render unto Caesar what is due to Caesar. I always emphasize the importance of obeying the laws of our land and of honestly paying our taxes. However, Jesus also strictly instructed the tax collector not to take more than was appointed to them. You can go overboard with this. And more than once in the Bible, you'll find a cry against unjust exactions, which is a Bible term for taxation. In fact, Bible Thump Alert, here is God's call to our government today. Quote, thus saith the Lord God, let it suffice you, O princes of Israel. Remove violence and spoil and execute judgment and justice. Take away your exactions from my people, saith the Lord God, end quote. And that's in Ezekiel 45:9. I'll be right back.
Satan is called the dragon and prince of the power of the air. The devil beware. Pastor Scheibach is on the air, swinging the sword of truth at the dragons of deceit, thrusting the blade of incisive insight into the belly of liberal lies, lies that blind man's mind in darkness. He wants to know if you have his back. Go to www.thebrainmassageshow.com and make your donation today. Or mail it to Post Office Box 2803, Santa Maria, California, 93457.
Is going to church like walking on a treadmill? You keep going and going, getting nowhere? Has your faith made the difference you're looking for? Come to the church that makes a difference. Lighthouse Baptist Church, a lighthouse for the family. Call 347-9887 for more information. See our ad in the Coastal Pages directory.
The devil beware. Pastor Scheibach is on the air.
Hello, I'm Jerry Scheibach, Wayne Masseur, and Paul Revere's lantern lighter here. Lighting the lamps in the church belfry arch, signaling the enemy is on the march, an enemy that would steal from us our liberty. We are all watching the debt limit debate with interest. Obama recently threatened those dependent upon Social Security. They might not get their checks. What demagoguery. The fact is there are sufficient revenues flowing into the Treasury to maintain the truly critical aspects of our government, including Social Security, even if they don't raise the debt limit. The problem is that we have a spike in maturing debt right now. Let me explain that. What our government has done is they will borrow money to pay for money they had borrowed as those debts mature or come due. Or in other words, let's say you borrowed $10,000 and you agreed to pay a certain amount of interest on it until the maturity date of the loan, at which time you would pay off the entire amount. Then when the loan matures and the person you borrowed the money from asks for his money, well, you borrow $10,000 from somebody else, and with that money you pay off this guy, and you make an agreement with the new loan to pay interest until that loan matures. And when you do this, you basically create a wash. You haven't increased your indebtedness. You've paid off a debt and then incurred another debt at the same amount. So it's just basically a wash. Now I'm looking at a chart from the GAO's financial audit. And it shows that at present, we are experiencing or about to experience a spike in maturing public debt, publicly held debt. Now, those are the treasury bonds that citizens buy. If most of these citizens don't simply buy new bonds to replace the maturing ones, if they all demand their money, cash it out, it's going to create a problem unless there are enough other investors to pick up that debt. And this is one of our concerns. One of the other things our idiot leaders have done is to borrow the Social Security funds. And they did this by issuing treasury bonds to the Social Security Fund. Or in other words, the Social Security Fund is actually in the black on paper. It's just that a whole lot of the money in that account is held in treasury bonds, which if the government goes broke, you understand, could create a default on the Social Security Fund. What's that going to do to our Social Security dependents? The government took the people's money, who gave it to them in good faith with the promise of benefits from Social Security that they paid for. And there is enough money in that fund to take care of its obligations right now, except that the lying, thieving scoundrels have borrowed against that money to fund their voter-buying binges, and so the Social Security money is non-liquid, you could say, at the moment. Now, we've tried everything we conservatives know how to do to get these wicked, lying thieves to get their stinking, greedy hands out of the Social Security money, but to no avail. We just can't stop them. It's difficult dealing with snakes who lie and wiggle and slithe about and go so many different directions. We need some help, voters. So now the whole thing's about to crash into pieces, and Obama and company had the temerity to try to blame it on conservatives who have been saying for some time now this ship is sinking and the answer is not to make a bigger hole in the hull. Got to stop this. But anyway, that's not even my point right now. Look, as I pointed out in the end of my first segment, everyone with sense understands that we need to pay taxes to fund the legitimate operations of government. The question is, what are the legitimate operations or functions of government? And I say it is not the legitimate function of government to take your money from you that you earned by labor and wise investments and then arrogantly decide who should get it. I illustrated this by the parable of the farmer who gathered his workers together and said, "Go into my fields and pick my corn." And then said to them, "I expect a certain amount of productivity from each of you according to your ability. Those of you younger and stronger, I expect you to produce more. And those of you not so strong or who are older, I expect you to produce less. Now, when you come to the end of your day, I'm going to pay you. But I'm not going to pay you according to what you have produced. I'm going to pay you according to what I think you need." We already know how this system works out, huh? We know it fails. It fails every time it's tried, all the way back to the Pilgrims. Why? Because it is patently unfair. It is worse than that. It is unjust. But government must tax government must exact, which is the biblical word for taxing, what is needed to function. When the government exacts from you a portion of your earnings to fund things that are in the common interest of the nation as a whole, well, it makes sense. If, however, the government imposes exactions on you to provide for the special interests of some at the expense of some others, that is unjust. It is nothing short of tyranny. And it never achieves anything like justice, by the way, social justice or otherwise. It does not punish the rich and help the poor. No, it hurts the poor and only helps the super rich. The only people who benefit from this sort of taxation are the super rich or their cohorts, the wicked, unscrupulous politicians who purchase political power by their means. And then they use that power to broker their own personal advantage on the backs of the very poor they pretend to defend. Look, they raise taxes on the so-called rich, right? And of course, here's our first problem. Who made them the self-righteous arbiters of what amounts to being rich? Who made these guys God? When did we decide that they have the right to determine how much money an individual has a right to keep? This is nothing but tyranny. Anyway, they tax the so-called rich, right? Who are the so-called rich? Well, by their standards, it includes mostly people of the middle class and upper middle classes. And these are your business owners in the main. You see, there are not that many of the super rich. The super rich are untouched by any of this. In fact, they benefit from it. These characters go after the middle crowd, the 250,000 plus crowd. They're made up of families where mom and dad both work. And sometimes one or more of them work two jobs. And often they'll run a small business on the side, or they'll run a business as their primary income. Now, these small businesses hire people. They provide jobs for their communities, okay? Now, most of the time, these guys are operating on a shoestring. The margin of profit is pretty thin. And the competition is very aggressive in a free market, and it should be. And so the government decides to increase their taxes. And so now more of the money they earn is taken from them to pay for politicians' pet projects like Obamacare. And look, here's a sheet showing the government's spending allocations. Pensions, $966.9 billion. Healthcare, $1.11 trillion. Education, you know, so they can teach your kids that homosexuality is not the most deadly disease-ridden lifestyle that it actually is, but rather use the classroom to spread the gay rights propaganda. Jerry Brown, I rebuke you in Jesus' name for signing Senate Bill 43. You know what? This actually does provide a perfect example of the kind of insanity I'm talking about here. Jerry Brown, our governor here in California, signed into law Senate Bill 43, which requires our schools to teach our kids the gay rights propaganda, to really rewrite history and tell our kids that major political figures of our history were actually queers and so on. It's just flat-out lies, propaganda, invented by the gay rights movement, and this will require our schools, listen, to purchase all new textbooks at a huge cost to the taxpayer at a time when this state is literally standing on the very brink of bankruptcy. You people are insane. You are like the obsessed sodomites of Sodom, who, though struck blind by the angels for their perverse obsessions, nevertheless groped at the door blindly, not deterred by this rebuke. These homosexuals ravaged by AIDS, blind in their obsession, are not deterred by nature's rebuke in the diseases that rack their bodies because of their perversities. But they continue on raging against nature and against nature's God. Mr. Brown, you have invited the rebuke of God upon you in this state. But do you see what I mean? These people are obsessed with their perverted ideology and pursue it no matter what, even if it means destroying or bringing the entire country down around their own foolish ankles. Here, look at this. In the category of other spending, $533.9 billion. Yeah, a lack of revenue is not the problem. Inappropriate spending is the problem. So you raise the taxes on these guys, and what do? Well, in order to avoid laying off employees, they start raising prices. And competitors take advantage of the price creeping upwards. And who gets hurt? It's the poor who pay for it. It's like these liberals. Are you listening? Bill Clinton, one time, during a debate over tax increases upon the middle class, upon businesses, small businesses, you know what he did? He advised the small businessman. He said, just raise your cost on the price of a hamburger. That's what he said, this outrageous man. Yeah, well, who pays for that? The guys who eat the hamburgers. It all gets passed on to your backs, friend. He said, well, just raise the price of the burgers you sell a little, and that'll cover it. Well, there it is. That's a liberal admitting that tax increases are passed on to the consumer. But that is not the worst of it. Oh, no. Now, listen close. Here's what happens every time as the middle class gets squeezed. You know, the businessman is forced to raise his prices. Well, the larger corporations who have greater staying power because they can stand in line for government bailouts paid for by the money confiscated from the very people that are hurt by this. It's just amazing what's going on. In times of economic downturn, the little guy gets his boat tipped over. He can't compete. He can't stay in business. He begins to cut back, and then finally his business fails. And this generates a loss of jobs. It encourages further disruption of the economy. It only benefits the big guys, the super rich, and the wicked politicians who serve them. Raising taxes is not the answer. Of course, I guess that depends on the question, doesn't it? If the question is, how can we totally destroy this nation and bring it to its knees economically? How can we finally break America? Well, the answer is follow the path of Greece and the other European socialist countries in exactly the way Obama and his cohorts want to do. But if what you're looking for is an answer to how to get this country back on track, well, look, no more taxes. Cut all non-essential spending. Let each community address the social needs of their own neighbors. Right there, we just saved a few trillion bucks right there. Let each community take care of educating their own young. Just saved 891 billion bucks. Do not make serving as a statesman, a politician, a career that pays exorbitant lifelong pensions. What nonsense. You just saved $966.9 billion. And whatever is in this ridiculous category called other spending, cut it. There, we just cut trillions of dollars out of the budget. And the savings of these cuts over the next 10 years would equal tens of trillions of dollars. Then cut the economy loose from tyrannical and oppressive anti-liberty policies. Let our people access their own natural resources in oil. Let us drill. You want to send billions to Brazil so they can drill. Well, and then tell our guys we can't drill for our own oil. This is theft. This is stealing. This is wicked. This is evil. It's wrong. It's keeping Americans from having jobs. Keeping Americans from having the incomes they need to feed their families. It's making us vulnerable to foreign interests. Break these jokers off our backs and let America be free. Let the government focus on its job. Address violence and spoil. Quit shipping guns to Mexican cartels that they use to kill our citizens. This is all evil. It's wicked. It's sinful, and it must stop. Start executing judgment and justice. And stop with this nonsense of having our own ridiculous president-alleged attempting to pervert justice and judgment by trying to get a raping, murdering pervert off the death penalty simply because of some technicality. Give me a break. He deserved the death penalty. And I say, way to go, Governor Perry, and way to go, Texas. And here's the third thing. I'm saying there are three things here that America needs to do right now to save this country. First, government needs to focus on its job of protecting us against violence and spoil. It needs to focus on that instead of social engineering schemes that are none of its business. Second, government needs to concentrate on fulfilling the divine mandate for government, which is to execute vengeance upon evildoers, to execute judgment and justice. And then, and here's the third one, the third thing that God counsels you to do, America, quote, take away your exactions from my people, saith the Lord God, end quote. Here is the counsel God gave to this, to his one nation under God back in the days of Ezekiel, back in the days when God was just about to drop a divine judgment upon that nation for their sins and turning away from their founding principles. Oh, yeah. Here is God's counsel for you, America. Quote, thus saith the Lord God, let it suffice you, O princes. Let it suffice you, O rulers of America. Remove violence and spoil. Execute judgment and justice. And take away your exactions, your excessive taxes from my people. Ezekiel 45, verse 9. I have lit the lamps of the church belfry arch. Well, now you let me know if you see that they are on. Call 1-888-770-8000. That number is 1-888-770-8000. And you say lights on if you see that the lights are on. And you will ride like Revere and spread the warning loud and clear. Now, you can say lights off if you want to blow the light out. You think I'm wrong, which means you reject what I'm saying. You disagree, perhaps very strongly with me. What will it be today? Lights on or lights off? Call 1-888-770-8000. That number is 1-888-770-8000. From a cell phone, you don't need the one. But if you will call and leave a message and ask me to call you back, I will call you back. You can also contact me by email. Use thebrainmassageshow.com. Go to thebrainmassageshow.com, click on the Contact Us button, and that will give you a form there you can fill out and reach me. You can give me as long a message as you like. And let me know where you stand on these issues. God bless you. God save America. I'll see you in church. I have written melodies for several of the Psalms, and I'm gratified that so many have enjoyed singing them. We've produced a CD titled Singing Psalms. $10 covers the cost of the CD and includes a $3 donation to our ministry. Call 1-888-770-8000 to order yours today. Or go to www.santamarialighthouse.org and click on the bookstore button.
Let us make a joyful noise to the rock of our salvation.
Love him or hate him, the Brain Masseur is going to make you think. Tune in Saturdays at 7:30 a.m. and go to www.thebrainmassageshow.com.